I want to ask you this question sincerely. How many of you are believers?
Amen.
You know, we've got a terminology of our own. Almost every denomination, a group of people, they've got one. You go out among the oneness people, the UPC, and you mention oneness or one God. It's sort of like a trigger word with them. Even among us, there's words that we use. But Brother Branham's message has given us a vocabulary that you can have a conversation with somebody in this message, and after just a few minutes, you can tell whether they've been around, where they speak the lingo, they've got the terminology. And the word believers is one of those words. Believers International, believers this, believer that. Well, you know, almost everybody that's a Christian claims to be a believer.
Right.
But we use that term as an identification mark. We are believers. But what does it mean to be a believer? Believe in what? Why do you call yourself a believer? Are you saying in brief that you believe there was a message? Or you believe God visited this generation because he sent a mighty prophet? Or is there a particular doctrine or tangent of Brother Branham's teachings or the scriptures that you believe? You see, there's many people in this world that if you ask them, well, are you a believer in Christ? Are you a believer in the Lord? Or do you believe in the second coming? Or do you believe in water baptism? Or do you believe the Trinity? They believe. And they call themselves believers. But I feel this week that I've been taught a lesson. That's one thing we must do is believe. We would say sometimes that believing is expressing our faith. Well, faith in what? Brother Branham said faith is a revelation.
Yes.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
But for somebody to say, first of all, they believe in God. Well, you know, they must believe he is or they can't even come to him. But there's a lot of people that say they believe in God, but their actions prove different. Are you a believer because you believe in God? The most religious people in the world, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priest and the temple and the Jewish religion, they believed in God, but they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Could they continue to call themselves believers? If they failed to believe in what God manifested and did, can somebody today that says that there's three gods and they believe that their Father, Son, and Holy Ghost call themselves a true believer when that's a pagan doctrine?
Right.
So when we say we must believe, I think it's important that we know what we believe.
Amen.
And what we're believing in. If God has done something and we refuse to accept it and believe it, then we no longer are believers. I believe that Malachi 4 has been fulfilled.
Amen.
And somebody would stand and call themselves a believer because they say, I believe in Jesus. And they refuse to accept the advent that God is doing now on earth. They cannot call themselves believers.
Right.
If somebody has misapplied it and believed it wrong, and certainly because maybe they have seen something supernatural and they say that makes me a believer. But you know, there's false anointed ones. If a person takes Brother Branham and puts him in a place that is in error, they're a believer in what? I believe that Mary was a fine young woman, honored among men and by God.
Yes.
But the Roman Catholic Church took and made her something that she was not. And they are great believers in that. And that is a false belief. And that belief, and how, regardless of how faithful they are to it, does not please God. So when you call yourself a believer, you need to know what you're believing in. There's a lot of people that have a knowledge of God. They've read about Him. They have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they don't know Him. And how can they say they believe on Him if they do not know Him? It's like many people would say, oh, I know Perry Green. But they know what they've heard or what they've imagined. But do they really know Perry Green? Somebody says, well, I know God. I know Jesus Christ. I know the Holy Spirit. I knew Brother Branham. But do they really believe what is correct?
Right. Amen.
Now, I'm headed down a path, and it gets even further. If God has in His plan for the angels of God to minister to us, and they are to gather us, and according to prophecy in the Bible and the Gospels, they are to come forth with a great sound, and they are to come and gather us, and you don't believe in them, and this is God's plan, can you call yourself a believer?
Come on.
Now, I honestly believe that me talking about angels has stirred something up in this message. There's people that says that I have gone overboard with it. They're denying it. But how can you deny it if it's something that Almighty God has in His plan?
Right.
It would be like saying, well, I've heard of Malachi 4, and I believe there's to be a prophet, and then say, but I just can't believe it. I don't think it's that way. I think it's going to be a group of people. But God is the one who laid out His plan.
Amen.
And He is the one who said He would send His angels.
Yes.
Now, this week I was told that those angels that I talk about being with us is our theophany. And Brother Branham does talk about it when a child is born, that there is an angel spirit that comes, and then that theophany waits while this life is lived and goes back to that. But I want you to know that angels came and ministered to Jesus Christ, and that was not His theophany. Angels came to Abraham. That was not His theophany. Angels wrestled with Jacob. That was not His theophany.
Amen.
Angels came to Joseph and Mary. That was not their theophany.
Amen.
So please don't just take one or two statements and figure you have figured it out, but you need to look and see, does God have a purpose for us to understand this here in the end time? Now, when I say that I feel I have created a stir, I didn't mean a controversy, but I have brought an awareness.
Yes.
For example, I got a letter this week from Sister Muriel Smith. How many of you know her? Let's see, I think she said she'd be 49 this year. I think she's old enough she got her numbers inverted. I think it's 94. And any of you sisters who've ever been to the luncheon over at Furs with her when she's in town, if you ask her why she can drive all the way from up there down here, she'll tell you it's because there's angels with her.
Amen.
And she introduced a new thought to me this week. You know, we've talked about how people feel like, you know, sometimes they get a visitation, maybe they feel like they got this little funny feeling or this little twitch or a little bird told them, or a little voice, or they heard something. But she said, Brother Green, you'll never know how many times I've had nudges. Now, I'd never thought of a nudge. But have you know what a nudge is?
Amen.
You ever been nudged? The brothers I mentioned it to, every one of them waved their elbow. Is that a nudge? And next thing you know, mind you a little bit. But have you ever feel like that something supernatural has been with you?
Amen. Yes.
Now, this, I think, is the awareness that we have become aware of, because things in the past years that we just sort of let it pass, I think we have become more consciously aware that there's something happening.
Amen.
When the Bible talks about entertaining angels unawares, I don't know how many little things have happened, little things or big things, whatever you want to call them, have happened. And I've heard some of you say, that could have been an angel.
Yes.
Johnny lost his church keys last week. He didn't even know he'd lost them. And a man called the office and said he was somewhere, and he'd been down here to try to return them because he'd figured out that they belonged to this church because I found them out front somewhere. He rode a bus back down there. He walks in that back door. He hands Austin a set of keys. Doesn't identify himself or leave. And I think even Austin said he could have been an angel. Do you know what it would have cost us if we hadn't found that set of keys? It cost us $900 just to change the exterior locks in his church. And we have to do it if one is lost. Now, Johnny has been admonished by two or three of us to keep his keys in his pocket. Don't lay them down to turn a faucet or something else. Keep them in your pocket. They're just, that's something that you've been entrusted with. But even that, there was a time when that man had come and gone, and we'd never even thought about it being that. This man that came to my house that day and brought me this word. How long ago would it have been when I just thought, well, he's just a man off the street? I ask you this in your own life. Have you noticed that you have become aware and more sensitive to these things?
Amen.
Is it because we are beginning to see them in the scriptures and we see them in Brother Bram's life and ministry? If we take the things that have happened that God has prophesied, and I plan to do that here in a few minutes, to show you things that God prophesied that it required angels for them to be fulfilled. And I think after this morning, you will even become more aware how important it is to believe in angels.
Yes.
And if you say you don't have to, then you tell me how you're going to continue to believe the Bible. Because all this comes from the scriptures.
Amen.
And Brother Branham teaches it. Let's just take Brother Branham's life, for example. Sure, Brother Branham had a pillar of fire come in his cabin. But, you know, he didn't know that the day he was born. He didn't know that when he was 10 years old. He didn't know that when he was 15. It's not until 1940s that Brother Branham said, I didn't know that until 10 years ago. Whenever that angel came to Brother Branham at the Ranger's cabin or at Green's Mill or Boy Scout camp area, his parents then told him about that pillar of fire that appeared the day he was born. The first 30-something years of his life, he had not heard that. Now, how many of you can say you knew that before I just told you? Well, that proves that we haven't heard all the tapes, doesn't it? Do I have to show you where Brother Branham says it in order for you to believe it? Can you understand that Brother Branham grew up as a young boy? And when that boy spoke to him out of that tree, he didn't know what that meant. When the whirlwind came and blew him down, he didn't know what that meant. Did he not tell his wife, here's money, I don't know how long I'll be gone, I'm going to go away to my secret place, I'm not coming back till I get an answer?
Amen.
And that night, about 11 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock in Israel in the morning, 11 o'clock in Jeffersonville area, an angel came to him and said, I've sent from Almighty God to tell you about your strange birth in your life.
Amen.
And until then, Brother Branham said he did not know.
Yes.
It took an angel from God to tell the one we all hold and respect so highly that some don't even let him be a man. He can't make a mistake. But I'm sorry, he said he was a sinner.
Amen.
Saved by grace. It took an angel from God to minister to him. Now, there had been fortune tellers tell him, you have a sign that follows you. And how did they know that? Did they see something or hear something, or did they have an insight into a spiritual realm that normal people don't have? They recognized something. But in 1946, when that angel came to Brother, and remember, angel, which was not Brother Branham's theophany, which was not the Lord Jesus, which was not the pillar of fire, a man that weighed about 200 pounds, shoulder length hair, olive complexion, stood before him with his arms folded and told him, first of all, fear not. I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you. And Brother Branham asked him some questions. You remember what questions he asked him? One was, why can't my brothers, the ministers, see that this is of God? Why do they say it's of the devil? And that angel says, well, as it was in the days of our Lord. And Brother Branham says, that's when he knew he wasn't talking to Jesus. Because that angel said, our Lord. And Brother Branham had already seen Jesus, a small man, in the sagebrush field when he was praying for his father.
Amen.
Years before. He understood that. That's the reason he told us that he believes that Jesus looks like that Hoffman, the artist, in his thing, Christ and the Rich Young Ruler, captured the expression of Jesus. What was this vision that Brother Branham saw in the sagebrush field? Jesus was looking at a young man. What was the inspiration that Hoffman caught in his picture, Christ and the Rich Young Ruler? It's out there in the vestibule. You can look at it after service. It was the inspiration that Hoffman caught the expression of Jesus Christ looking at a young man.
Amen.
The same as Brother Branham had. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, wouldn't it be the same if Hoffman's inspiration was true? Then Brother Branham began to say that he believed that Jesus looked like that picture, that's what he expected to see.
Amen.
Now, they took the bust of Christ out of that picture. You can see the cone of the blocks in there. And that's what they made and they sell today, called Christ at 33. Hoffman's Christ at 33. But it took an angel of God in 1946 to tell Brother Branham about his life, his gift, his ministry. And even that angel told him about his pools. He called them signs, as Moses did. You'll be given two. Brother Branham began to call them pulls. I haven't found where the angel called them pulls, but Brother Branham called them pulls. I haven't found why Brother Branham called them pulls. I personally have something I like to tell about that. If you'll take something that is a pull, and you look at it from physics, it is where there is a force that exerts a power on an object and causes that object to draw closer to the source without having anything to do with it. That's what happened when I saw the sign in his hand. I moved a little closer, not knowing why. When I saw the secret in his heart, that pulled me toward that source. Now, I don't know how it happened to you, but, you know, it's no man cometh unto me except my Father draws him. That's a pull. But you know what? I thought that I made the decision to serve God when I was 9 years old and got up out of the seat and went forward to the altar to repent. But I've come to believe now and understand that God pulls us and he pushes us and he's so good at it, he exerts the same pressure and we move forward and we think we're doing it. But really, God did it. Now, I can show you that in the scriptures where when Jesus was there and before he went into the wilderness, one place the scripture says he was driven to the wilderness, another one says he was drawn to the wilderness. Now, which was it? Was he pushed or pulled?
Yeah.
The night you got saved, what caused you to move toward God? What causes you now to hunger and thirst after him? Is it your carnality? Is it your carnal being that says, I'm miserable, I want to get right with God? No, there's something inside of you that came from God and wants to return to God and is part of God and always will be a part of God. And your carnality is an enemy against that. Brother Robert is just, well, he says he finished, but I don't know. He just delivered 4 masterpieces on the conflict.
Amen.
The first one was mandatory listening for you if you call me pastor.
Amen.
When we get them made, all 4 of them is going to be mandatory listening. Just like I said, that series on offenses that Brother Newton Bennett preached. By now, folks, we should not be able to be offended. We should know enough of the scriptures and the message about that doctrine that Satan traps us with now that we should be victorious over being offended.
Amen.
Somebody gets their feelings hurt or offended or offends somebody else. By now, we should be mature enough and understand enough that we're believers, that we're victorious over that.
Amen.
We should not be discouraged because of the heat of the battle. We should be encouraged because the worse it gets and the harder it gets, the closer we are home.
Amen. Yes. That's true.
You were drawn, you were driven, and you have a desire to be a believer. But the devil didn't give you that. Satan didn't give you that.
Amen.
Your carnality didn't crave that.
Nope.
And rather in the conflict, you'll find that what you want to do, you can't do.
Uh-huh. Come on, Lord.
And what you don't want to do is what you find yourself doing.
Come on.
Yes.
God help.
Amen.
That's the battle.
Amen.
You make the choice which one you're going to feed the most. What atmosphere you're going to be in.
Amen.
And God in his grace and mercy.
Amen.
Has given us the indwelling of his own spirit.
Hallelujah.
Which inspired the scriptures to start off with.
Amen.
Which can interpret the scriptures for us.
Glory to God.
And then he gives us angels to help us.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
And we don't believe in them. And Brother Brennan says that's the reason you don't have them. Or we don't live a life decent enough for them to stand to be around us.
Amen.
We offend them. We abuse them. And you cannot convince me that if you believed in angels, we would conduct ourselves the way we do sometimes.
True.
You wouldn't even conduct yourselves the way you do sometimes if I were present. A preacher. Or even a deacon. or even another believer, or a stranger outside your own family. You'd be embarrassed. Amen. Amen. You wouldn't allow yourself to stoop that low.
Amen.
But the angels are present always. Until you offend them so they can't stay there. You do want them to be around you and protect you in your hour of need. You want them to teach you and guide you and direct you. But if there are prophecies of the plan of God, and he uses angels to fulfill those, I think it's important that we become believers in those angelic visitations we have. Now, there are some people that Brother Bram says they cannot believe. They can't even believe in God. How can you believe that an atheist can stand and tell you there is no God? I don't want to say God we trust. And come against it and deny that our forefathers founded this nation on Christian principles, and they go to court to prove it because they are offended because you mentioned God. How can anybody be, excuse me, so dumb, so ignorant, so stupid, that they don't see the marvelous creation of their own brain? And you know what? You cannot argue them. You can present them with the facts. And they can't believe it. They can't see it. It's the same way with some people in Christianity. You could try to explain to them that he's a holy God. And that he desires you to be holy. And they just might as well tell you, well, I got as much right to say what's right and what's wrong as he does. I live as close to God as he does. Well, look, it's not that we're against anything. But I have this experience all the time. I don't know about the rest of you, but being a pastor in this message, I have people that they hate me. They despise me. Not because I've ever said anything to them, but just because they know that I don't believe in the way women dress. I never said a word to them about immorality or trousers or men's apparel or anything else or cutting their hair. But just because they know I'm identified with that, they despise me. Don't want to be around me and would rejoice if I fell in sin. They call Brother Branham a woman hater. And I never knew any man who was more of a gentleman to any woman than Brother Branham was. But why did they hate him? Because there's something inside of them that's rebellious.
Yeah.
That's against God. They resent God. They resent anything that's righteous. And you're wasting your breath when you try to explain it to them. You must love them. You must be kind and gentle to them, but they won't let you be.
Yeah.
If you say anything to them, you're judging. You say something else, you're hateful. Why do you have to be so hateful? Well, didn't know it was. You can say something about somebody's immorality. Well, that's a hate crime. I didn't write the book.
Amen.
But now they label the Bible a book of hatred.
Right.
Why? Because they cannot believe in God.
Right.
And they won't believe.
Right. Amen.
Now, I'm not one to give up on anybody and says, well, they won't. I give them the word test. I think Brother Aaron mentioned this morning about the glass. I've said many times here, you know, that some people come along and say, well, I give them the word test, and they turned it down. Well, you know, if you offered me this water and you give it to them in a glass that just come out of the chicken yard, Even though the inside was clean and the outside was dirty, I probably wouldn't drink it.
Amen.
So sometimes people turn down the way you deliver it.
Yeah.
Not the contents.
Amen.
Best thing you can do is live it before them.
Yes. Amen.
Let them see Christ in you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Don't you try to show them how righteous and how holy you are, because you don't have any righteousness. As I said in the beginning, some claim to believe, but they only confess knowing about it. They read about it. They heard somebody about it. To believe in God, I believe you'll come to God. I gave the brothers some quotes this morning. How often among us in this message have we heard people say, well, I believe every word of Brother Branham. Every word he said, I believe it. And he says, no, they don't either. Or they wouldn't do what they're doing. And I'm talking about people who just moved from Jeffersonville out here and quit going to church, quit taking communion. They became a cult or a clan. And Brother Bram said, that proves they don't believe every word of me.
Yes.
I want somebody to show me where Brother Branham ever told the preachers to stop preaching. Now, if they don't want to be faithful to the things that God did, and they don't want to support a work, pay their tithes, or be obligated to anybody else, they're just being selfish. The Bible gives us that spirit. Wasn't it Judas that said, why wasn't that sold and given to the poor? He wasn't concerned with the poor. He was a thief. So many people, when they come against something like that, against the minister of the church, it's because really they don't want to have to do that themselves. When Brother Branham first left us, there was a group of brothers out here that said that they didn't believe in paying tithes. They were going to save their tithes and give them to Brother Branham. At that time, I was the only pastor in the city. So I made them a proposition. You have my permission to pay your tithes and save them and give them to Brother Branham when he returns like you believe he's going to do. Providing you'll put them in a bank account that only Brother Branham can get the money out. And you have no access to it, and you cannot use it. And then Brother Branham can get it out of the bank when he comes back himself. I never had a one offer to do it. You know why? Because they just were not honest. They didn't want to be honest with God. But yet they are believers. And they're ones that has the right to tell everybody else they're not believers. They'll say, I believe every word. You don't. And they don't want to talk about what Brother Brown. They've lost their balance somewhere.
Amen.
But they're not the first religious group that did that. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the priest. They said they believed in God. But they could not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, do you think that they could call themselves believers? The point I want to make this morning above all is that you just don't believe something, then stop.
Amen.
Because you must recognize the day and the hour in which you live and what God's doing now.
Yes. Amen.
Not yesterday. Now. Now, we've had over 40 years since the seals have been preached. And that's one of the things that motivated me 5 or 6 years ago to go back and say, folks, let's take another look at the seals. We've had them now for over 40 years. Have we been wandering in the wilderness, or is there something that we missed? And we go back and hear what Brother Branham had to say about the seals. I found a lot of things being preached as the seventh seal that Brother Branham didn't teach.
Yeah.
So much so that even this week again, I was asked in love, Brother Green, what do you believe about the seventh seal? I said, I believe what Brother Branham said. Well, but they say that you don't believe the seventh seal. I said, again, I believe what Brother Branham says about the seal. And it so happens that I had a quote that had been passed on to me, and it came from the future home of the heavenly bridegroom. Brother Branham preached it in 64, August the 2nd. It's paragraph 168 through 172. And if we would, I'd like to read that this morning. Notice here, Peter said, and will melt with fervent heat, and the works therein burn up, not the planet. The works therein, the works of man, all their politicians and their schemes, and all their denominations and man-made schemes will all go with it when it burns. Let me believe that.
Yes.
Heavens will pass away with a great noise. Did you notice here? Heavens will pass away with a great noise. Listen. The whole earth will be on fire, will ignite the gases that's in the earth and explode it. That's exactly. The Bible said here, Peter said, and the heavens will pass away and earth with a great noise. This happens to be the final quote that Brother Robert used the other night in concluding the end of the conflict. And somebody had just given it to me that week. Such an explosion will rock it, oh my, cause it's got to kill every disease, every thistle, every thorn. Everything there is to be done, the fire will burn it up. And remember, it's not altogether just a literal fire. It's a holy fire.
Amen.
See, that will take away Satan and all of his, all the devils, both heaven and earth, amen, will pass away.
Yes.
Killing all the germs, all the insects, all natural life on it and around. Even the HTO, the water will explode. Think of it. Talk about a noise.
Yes.
You think that little noise out here in Tucson was something. When he opened the six seals... Now, why did Brother Branham say six seals? You see, I just ask a question. If the seven seals are opened and they are fulfilled and all the mysteries are made known, why did the prophet make that statement? See, there's got to be something that's contrary to what most people believe about the seventh seal. Now, Brother Branham says the seven seals, but he does not say the seventh seal.
Right.
Just a difference in TH. Seven and seventh. Why does Brother Branham say when he opened the six seals? But, oh, you hear... Almost all the ministers talk about the seven seals. But it so happens that because I'm trying to find out if the Lord came in 63, if that cloud was the coming of the Lord and that was the seventh seal, why are we still here?
Amen.
Look, folks, I just want to be honest. I'm disappointed in the rapture if it happened in 63. And so are you, if you'll be honest.
Yes.
But now, if you've gone so far that you've interpreted it and you've translated it and you've got your own interpretation of it, that you are not don't have the courage to come back and say, I had it wrong. Otherwise, you don't have an explanation for this right here. When he opened the six seals... that shook the country round about and caused the talk. Now you wait till this earth receives her baptism.
Yes.
You know, man, when a man receives the baptism of fire, there's a lot of noise around there. They think that's a shame to hear people scream and shout like that. Just wait till this earth gets her baptism. Yeah, it'll explain. It exploded, the HTO, the water. For the Bible said here in Revelation 21, and there was no more sea. What do you think would happen to the water if it don't explode and evaporate?
Right.
All the outside, she'll burst and blow to pieces. The crust, and for hundreds of feet below it, will just simply be completely demolished. The atmosphere, the gases that's in the earth now. Where they're finding these missiles that can't get through it. a great sphere up in there, way up in some kind of a sphere that there's all kind of gases, they say, and that'll burst. The holy wrath of God will come upon it. See? And we'll cleanse it. We'll cleanse the entire surface.
Amen.
Now, hearing Brother Branham make a prophecy like that, are you willing to say, even so, come?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Lord Jesus. I don't believe the bride will be here.
No.
I know it gets quiet when I dig deep like that, but all I'm trying to do is to turn the fallow ground over so you'll look at it.
Yes.
Amen. Right. Folks, there's something else got to happen to us. The other day I got up and I was hurting so bad. I said, Lord, what must I do to get over this thing physically? As I went outside to get the newspaper, as I went out, a song we used to sing come to me. You got to move, you got to move, you got to move, you got to move. And when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. And you know what I found out? That the only thing that stops me from hurting is move. I mean, you know, you don't want to move because it hurts, but sitting still don't stop it. It's moving that helps it. Now, some of you folks that's older than me, there's a few of you. Is that what happens with your age? You move and you breathe deeper. I just say, I got to move, that's all. Isn't that what would happen if what would the man with the withered arm have said? Well, I can't move it. When Jesus said, stretch forth, what's he supposed to do?
Right. Amen.
Just because it hurts, am I not supposed to move it?
Right.
Somebody said the other night, Brother Green, you moved your arm, you raised your arm. Yes, I did, and it hurts every time, but what am I supposed to do?
Right. Amen.
Folks, if I do it and it stops hurting, you'll hear me. You'll hear me.
Yes.
You'll know what happened, but what am I supposed to do? Are we believers or are we not?
Come on. Amen.
I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit as the presence of God. I believe God sent a prophet, but I also believe he's sending his angels. If we don't believe, how can we know the visitation of God or the plan of God for our day? Didn't Brother Branham tell us that we need to recognize the day and the message? Look at Abraham. God told him, don't live like your fathers did. Live here in this land with the inheritance of your father. Move out of here. That was an angel told him that. With David, it was an angel told him. With Jesus, an angel came and ministered to him. Angels came. The disciples. And one of these days, I'm going to get a chance to get into that. To just take the book of Acts and show when Peter was in jail and that angel came, he didn't know him. He didn't want to believe him. The angel sort of had to rebuke him. Get your stuff and get out of here.
Amen.
It's not easy for us superior mammals of human beings that feel like we control everything to take instructions when we don't understand it. Daniel. I need to give this as background. There's people who say to me, we don't need angels, we have a prophet. Well, tell me then, why did Daniel have to receive an angel to tell him about what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah very plainly said 70 years. Daniel, when he got 68 years, he said, look, there's only 2 years left. What is it? And how did Daniel get the answer? An angel came.
Amen.
And what did the angel tell him? He told him about, well, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he showed him all the governments of the world from then until the end of time. Remember, it was gold and silver and brass and iron. And there was Babylonian with Nebuchadnezzar. There was the Medes and the Persians with Darius. There was the Greeks with Alexander the Great. And the scriptures wrote about things that was going to happen with this when it would come down and he'd build this causeway from this land to this island out there. And when it happened, you know what happened to the old priest in the city of Jerusalem when they saw that happen to Alexander the Great? They threw the city gates open for him.
Yeah.
You ever read that? Well, see, that maybe you don't know that story. But they knew the prophecy well enough to know about this unicorn, this he-goat that was to come. And whenever they saw Alexander the Great fulfilling this very thing, they just got together and said, look, man, we may not know this guy, but look, he fulfilled this prophecy here, and we ought not fight this guy. We ought to open the gate. He's going to win anyway.
Amen.
Yes. He was represented by brass, then the legs of iron, the Romans. Well, anybody that was alive then and they knew the scriptures, they could see the four kingdoms that it was divided into. Anthony and story of Anthony and Cleopatra and those things like that. And Israel separated over there and it comes down to the feet of iron and clay. And it so happened we had somebody tell us what that was.
Amen.
Feet of iron and clay, Eisenhower and Khrushchev. We've seen that happen right now. And folks, we should be able to see all nations gathering against Jerusalem.
Yes, right.
We should see that regardless of how Israel says it or does it, the world is offended at her.
Amen.
They can't explain themselves. The only thing they can do is say, okay, we give up, we surrender, we're going to take a boat and we're going to get in the Mediterranean, you folks can have it. That's the only thing they would accept.
Right.
Why? Because that's the force that's driving them.
Yes.
That was bred into them with Ishmael against his brother. Right. And even when he went then, and Jacob went and married one, Esau went and married one from the house of Ishmael. It's double bred in them.
Amen.
But I'll make this statement prophetically. The sons of Ishmael and Esau will never overthrow the sons of Isaac.
Amen.
Bible prophecy forbids it to happen.
Amen.
I need to say this if you think I'm maybe taking you back with Daniel or something. But it may interest some of you to know this, that Brother Branham said, unless you get Daniel straight, you'll never get the seals. You can talk to some brothers who have the seals all figured out. The time, the ages, the dispensation, the coming, the catching, everything. But they don't know anything about Daniel. And that's the reason they've got the cow eating grass out of the top of the tree.
Amen.
Unless you get Daniel straight, you'll never understand the seals properly. The Antichrist. What a day of deception we live in. And folks, it's just not the government now. Go back to the 30s. When Roosevelt started the socialist government we wound up with. And I can remember preachers preaching against Social Security numbers. And we've all accepted them. I got one, you got one, everybody's got one, everybody gets the benefits without you don't get Medicare and everything. And today it's just a given. But I can remember when there were people that refused to have them. In fact, Sister Green did not have a Social Security card until we moved to Arizona. I filed our income taxes as a single man. Never claimed her. Well, of course, she's never made any money. Man told me one time, says, "You mean she don't get paid?" I said, "Well, maybe so." But I wanted to see just how long I could keep her off of the tax rolls. Keep her out of the system. Somebody said, "Oh, someday she'll get old. She'll need Social Security." Well, Sister Green's old. She's been eligible for 15 years. And you really think that $190 a month she get makes a difference in her lifestyle? Well, she's got Medicare. She ain't used it. They make money off of her and they lose money on me. Now, that's personal, but I tell you that, you see, just how easy it is for us to just accept something just because everybody else does it and it's the system, it come along. And I can remember when there was genuine convictions against it. And now then, systems are coming, and look, folks, I know where I'm standing on this because I read what Brother Bram said about it in 56. You don't want to cross me on it now because I know where I'm coming from. I don't mean to lay a trap for you like that, but until you go back and hear what Brother Bram had to say about how they're abusing the Constitution.
Yes, right.
And how they brought the system in the 30s when Brother Branham was a young man, and how he got involved in the system, and how he said what they're doing is anti-God.
Yes.
Be careful now before you criticize, because we can get so comfortable in what we're in. That we don't need God, we got the government. And you're more concerned with the government than you are God. It sort of perturbed me a little bit when somebody says, "Is this tax deductible?" Well, I don't find that doctrine in the Bible. And on top of that, when you're working and you draw your wages, well, they deduct your taxes, and then you take your net home, and so you let God pay your part of your taxes because you don't pay tithes on your taxes. And you know, that's usually 15% to 25% of what you make. And I don't think that's the way God exactly figured it. You see, you're playing penny ante with God. And then you wonder why he don't bless you sometimes.
Amen.
Do you trust him or don't you? Listen, why did God require tithes anyway? He don't need your money.
Amen.
He owns it all.
Yes.
That simply said, look, I'm going to let you keep 90 when it all's mine. And I'm just going to ask you for 10. I want to see if you can be trusted with 10%. And most people can't be trusted with 10%. Because I just said, you make $100 and the government gives you 80 because they keep 20 for taxes. Well, instead of paying $10 tithes, you pay $8 tithes. And what really gets me, and I'm sorry, folks, but what did I get on this subject for? Because it don't mean anything to me except your own welfare. But if you get $72, you pay $7.10. Do you really count pennies with God? Or maybe it's $7.13. Well, yeah, that's all I owe. Really? What happened to the other $27 or $29 that you made, but the government's already taken out of your paycheck?
Amen. That's right.
Now, if you think I'm saying that because I want your money, that just shows you how easily you can deceive yourself. I'm saying this for you to pray about. And look, it's not going to make that much difference whether you do or don't. But what is your attitude toward God with these things?
Amen. It's true.
Are you still a believer?
Amen.
You really believe in tithing?
Yes.
I can't tell you how 9 goes farther than 10, but it does.
Amen.
That's God's economy.
Yes.
Forgive me for that. I certainly don't. Well, yes, I did.
Okay.
I intended to stick the plow. It's not in the notes, but I stuck it in the ground. I wasn't going to pull it out till I got through with it. So.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
You know if you need something, and I've got it, you can have it. How many of you believe that?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Look at Bible prophecy. Things that are to be. The Bible calls them signs of the times. Does it not? Matthew 16 and 3, 1 through 3. Let's read that one, Chris. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather. Today, for the sky is red and lowering. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times?
Amen.
Which is more important, folks, to know the weather forecast or to know the signs of the times?
Amen.
You know, whenever the cloud picture was popular here in Arizona back in 65 and 66 when I moved here. Dr. McDonald over here, and there were some articles published in Science and Life and Arizona Republic, and he got a hold of it and talked about and called this superstition and so forth, and he called me by name and said I should leave superstition back in the 14th century where it belongs. And I called him on the phone, and I just said, Dr. McDonald, we met before, and I told him where we met, and he didn't remember it. That was because he was drunk on an airplane and over here in a bar. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you don't have an explanation for the cloud. If you had one, I wouldn't be able to believe what I believe about it.
Yes.
But since you say it's impossible, and there's no rockets, and there's not possible to get that much moisture in the sky, then I have to say it's something supernatural. Therefore, I can believe what Brother Branham said about it. And he said, leave superstition in the 14th century where it belongs. And I said, you know what? I said, Jesus talked about you in the Bible.
Amen.
He said you could discern the face of the sky. And he does. He was an expert in atmospheric physics. And when I was a kid, they used to predict rain and so forth. But folks, they're pretty accurate with it now.
Yes.
I mean, you can even read the paper on the back of the newspaper, and it'll give you the 5-day report, the forecast. And you can pretty well count on it. Because they're able to measure that front way off out there in the Pacific Ocean, and when it's going to come, and how the wind currents, and where the lows and the highs are, and the barometric pressure. And they got those kind of systems. They can forecast that now. My grandfather would have loved to have had that with his crops. To know what day he could plant and what day he couldn't, what day it's going to rain. But nowadays they do it for sports facilities. And you know that. You depend on it. You wonder, well, it's supposed to be 90 degrees tomorrow. And you count on it. They can discern the face of the sky. But how can they discern the signs of the times?
Right.
There's only one way, and that's to look and see what prophecy has to say about it. And you and I are not capable of understanding that. Now let me prove that to you. Did Isaiah and the prophets talk about a virgin conceiving?
Amen.
And one forerunning and preparing the way? And being a voice in the wilderness? Well, then in due season, when that time came to pass, John the Baptist just born, grew up, and he was a prophet. No! His daddy went in the temple one day in his regular occupation, went behind a curtain, and an angel met him there.
Amen.
And that angel explained to Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth's going to have a little boy, and he's going to name him John, and he's going to do and fulfill these scriptures.
Yes. Right.
Now, Zacharias didn't do that on his own. Elizabeth did that on her own. At the same time, a few weeks later, up in Nazareth, there's Elizabeth's cousin, young 14, 15-year-old girl named Mary that had lived in Jerusalem at one time, and she'd gone to be spouse to this older man, Joseph, and she's there, and an angel comes to her and tells her, all them women back there in Isaiah that needed those booties and all when he said a virgin shall conceive, they were wrong. You are her.
Amen.
You're going to be that girl. And manuscripts tell us, it's available now, that when Mary began to show, well, one of the men in the synagogue saw her and went and told the rabbi, that goody, goody boy Joseph, you were done, he got that girl expecting, you ought to go deal with him. And the manuscripts tell us that the rabbi called him in and said, well, Moses gave us a law over here, the law of jealousy. And if she's been unfaithful, well, we mix up this drink and we give it to her. And if she's been unfaithful to her husband, they're supposed to show. Well, Mary took it and didn't affect her. Then they gave it to Joseph and didn't affect him. Well, the priest said, well, they're telling the truth. So some in Nazareth accepted her story and others wanted to put her out.
Yeah.
Even Joseph wondered, well, shall I take her or shall I not take her? But what happened? An angel came and told him, said, no,
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Hey, sir.
Yes. Right.
Where would that story be if it hadn't been angels with Zechariah and Joseph and Mary? Where would it be?
Right. Amen.
I ask you sincerely, where would Brother Branham be in his ministry today if that angel hadn't come to him?
That's right.
Excuse me, just let me remind you of this, and I'll close for this morning. You can come back for 5 o'clock tonight and Wednesday, because I'm going to continue this till I get through with it.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, Brother Branham. Upon the authority of a divine commission administered to me by an angel, which I had nothing to do with it coming. Did he ever say that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, was Brother Branham just being nice or humble? Or was that commission given to him by an angel and he had nothing to do with it coming? I'm just as helpless as you are unless he's here.
Amen.
You know I'm waiting on something. Would the pianist come and play me a jazzy built-up song now? Or to come say, play me something soft and reverent.
Yes.
Amen.
Worshiping quiet.
Yes.
And hardly get the keys off the keyboard till he say, he's here.
Yes.
And those of us that experienced that knew he was there.
Yes.
Next question. Was that the end of angels in the Bible? Not according to prophecy. The parable of Jesus and the sower. Who gathered them up? The angels. When he comes, he's to come with his mighty angels.
Yes.
With a great sound. Five distinct prophecies in the Gospels that tells us that they're going to be angels has something to do with us here in the end time. And if we don't believe in them, we can't call ourselves believers. I am expecting you to become so sensitive that you'll begin to recognize those ministering spirits in your life.
Yes. Amen.
But I will tell you now,
Amen.
That me, you, and everybody else, we're going to have to believe in them, and we're going to have to live a life that they can stand to be around us.
Amen. Yes.
Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God, help us to understand. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us. But the Holy Spirit will tell you that this word has angels. Start paying attention to that nudge. I've been amazed to hear Brother Branham describe the time the angels came to him. We think about the one in 46 when he came to him in the cave or at the Green's Mill or at the cabin in that area. But what about the one in 55 of December when he come back off the field because he's $15,000 in debt and he's thinking about going out of the ministry? And something starts talking to him behind him. It steps around in front of him and he's dressed in a Palestinian garment. And that's the tent vision.
Amen.
That's where it came from. And Brother Branham took courage of that and he started talking about, we're going to get the tent. He talks about borrowing $100,000. From who? Did he ever do it? He even says, the tent's paid for. Where is it? Nobody knows. Well, Brother Billy Paul knows. Well, Brother Branham talked to this brother about having that, and this brother about having this one here having that. He told me he thought there's a place for me in the tent. I said, I hope so. In fact, he said I could be that smooth-talking man on the platform. And you could take that complimentary or derogatory. I think Brother Branham meant it complimentary. He never told me smooth. That's what he says on the tape. Somebody that always had something to say is what I said fit. He was an older man. But Brother Branham is the one also told me, he said, Brother Green, if I wanted that tent, I could order it tomorrow because Bill Downs got $5 million he said I could have to pay for it with. Amen. Well, that's the answer to Brother Branham making a statement, the tent's paid for.
Yes, amen.
You know that $5 million is still in a trust fund today? Under control of the Browns? Brother Tom Brown and his wife and children and Brother Lance LaRue could control it. They're obligated to spend the money that comes in off that every year in the Lord's work, and that's what they do. Now, you see, I tell secrets a lot of other people won't tell you. There have been preachers go and tell Sister Dow that they should take that away from Tom and let them control it. Sorry, she was better than that. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
What's that standing next to you? Who's that going to go with you today? You feel that nudge? You feel that unction? I want you to become sensitive to that. Going to be one come someday like the wind that went to Sodom and Gomorrah and said, look, let's get out of here. Look, come on, you got to go. Hurry up. This can't take place till you get out of here. Well, couldn't God have just told Lot to get his kids together and get out of there? Why do you have to send two angels down there? Because that's been his pattern.
Yes, right.
Now, if anybody else has got a better way that it's going to happen, then you tell me where it comes from the Bible or Brother Branham's teachings, and I'll say you could be right. But in the meantime, I've pretty well studied this. I've read all 1,067 pages of quotes about the angels that Brother Branham says. And the main thing I was struck with, he says, you don't have them because you don't believe in them. Yeah. Number two, they're not in the churches because you don't live a life that they can stand to be around. And three, you've all got them.
Right.
Now, there is an exception. Brother Branham says unbelievers don't have them.
Amen.
So maybe that's the reason you don't have one.
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
I believe the angels will minister to me and help me. understand and protect me and guide me and lead me and take me out of this world when I need to go.
Amen.
Stand together. 5 o'clock. How's that for letting you out at 12 o'clock? I was going to preach 45 minutes and quit this morning. Save the energy for tonight. Don't come back if you don't want it continued. It's up to you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Thank you, Chloe and Marlene and Josh. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I noticed that Caleb and Johnny and all those lead worship, they're always saying, are you glad to be in church today? I'm going to say, how many wish you'd stayed at home? Didn't catch anybody, huh? God bless you this morning. Thank you so much for coming. You know, it wouldn't, as Paul said, it wouldn't do any good for God to give us something if we didn't have somebody to say it to.
Amen.
But just blame it on the Lord if you felt led to come today and you felt led for me to do this. So the two forces collided. So God bless you. Go thy way and don't disbelieve God's word. Search the scriptures in case these things be so.
Amen.
Search the quotes.
Amen.
Right. I've always told you people, check out what I say.
Yes. Amen.
And you know what? If you find I say something contrary to what Brother Bram says, I'd appreciate if you come tell me instead of telling everybody else.
Amen.
But be careful now that you don't interpret what he said. I may not have the same interpretation of what he said that you do. But if I know my heart, I want to be a faithful believer of Brother Brown's message.
Amen.
And believe what he taught us. As you're dismissed today, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. God bless you. I love you.